And the text that is read to us this morning is taken from Luke's Gospel, chapter 19, verses 1 to 10. Luke's Gospel, chapter 19, verses 1 to 10. And I would read it for you. Jesus was going through the city of Jericho. A man was there named Zacchaeus, who was a very important tax collector, and he was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but he was not able because he was too short to see above the crowd. He ran ahead to a place where Jesus would come, and he climbed a sycamore tree so he could see him. When Jesus came to that place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down. I must stay at your house today." Zacchaeus came down quickly and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to complain, "Jesus is staying with a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "I will give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anyone, I will pay back four times more." Jesus said to him, "Salvation has come to this house today, because this man also belongs to the family of Abraham. The Son of Man came to find lost people and save them." Shall we look to the Lord in prayer? Gracious Father, we thank you for the ministry of your word and the illumination that we receive from it through the work of the Holy Spirit. We pray that even as we consider this passage of the scripture, that you would speak to us and minister to us in a way that we would appropriate these messages, and that our lives would be transformed and challenged to an extent in which we shall be witnesses of you in the world in which we live. To this extent, we commit ourselves. We offer this prayer in Jesus' precious name. Amen. There is a story of an American missionary visiting a southern state in India. He was visiting a village, and he found that it was difficult to communicate, particularly if he wanted to deliver a message. It was difficult unless he had a proper translator. In those days, it was difficult to find a qualified translator who have both secular education and also knowledge of the scripture. At last, he was able to find a person, a committed believer who spoke English and who also tried translating missionaries. So this missionary was preaching from a text of the scripture, and the translator was translating. And as the message went along, the translator was not able to follow the message because he was not able to understand all the vocabularies and the accent, things like that. So the preacher went on one direction, and the translator went on another direction, but they conversed on the same theme because the translator knew which theme he was speaking about. So he went on speaking from the text the way he wanted to deliver a message. Now this morning, I am told that some of you have problems with my accent. I tell you very clearly, even if you don't follow me, the text is Luke 19. And just go home, read the scripture, and you will know what I am trying to convey this morning. A few years back, I was trying to communicate gospel message to a family friend. He was an army officer. He was a friend of my father-in-law in Calcutta. We often used to visit this home, and he was a Catholic person, and he loved people. His home was open for us. He loved hospitality and entertaining people. And we were the recipients of his hospitality many a times. The Lord was speaking to me that I cannot just keep my mouth shut, that I need to speak to this man about the Lord Jesus Christ. So one day, I visited him personally, and I began to interact with him. And I began to ask him some aspects of his faith. and whether he has a personal commitment with the Lord Jesus Christ. I spoke to him about 10 to 15 minutes. And he was very patiently hearing all that I was trying to tell him. And after hearing everything, he told me, "Thomas, you should understand that I am an army man. An army person has no time for religion. I have no time for God." Sadly, this man died in a few years' time, and I do not know whether he made a personal commitment to Christ, although whenever I visited this person, I shared with him the gospel of Christ. Here we have the story of a man who was despised by the society because of his profession. A man who was looked down by others. Yet a man who was wealthy, who was making money every day in a way that he was becoming prosperous materially, but perhaps he was becoming poor spiritually. And here is a man before us, that he is searching for the Lord Jesus Christ. Someone said, "There are very tall men who are unable to look over a small disappointment. And there are tiny Davids who can look over the shoulders of Goliath to see God. And there are also men of small stature like Zacchaeus who can overcome the obstacles to have a vision of Christ and then to follow him." I want to present before you four aspects of Zacchaeus this morning. Zacchaeus, the tax collector, the man as he is. And Zacchaeus, the earnest seeker of truth. And then Zacchaeus, the converted. And Zacchaeus, the discoverer. First of all, I would like to talk to you about Zacchaeus. What was his profession? He was a tax collector and he was a chief publican. As I said, he was very wealthy and he got into a profession that was really good to make money. But because of the nature of the profession, he was making a living unjustly. He was often cheating people, or the way of deception was a everyday life for him. It was a lifestyle for him. And therefore, he was not simply fulfilling the role of a tax collector. He was going beyond that and making extra money for him. And perhaps he was preoccupied with his profession that he didn't have any time for God or spiritual pursuit. We do not know what happened to this man all these 3 years. Almost, Jesus has been in and around Jerusalem. And he must have heard about Jesus, but he has delayed to go to Jesus or respond to Jesus. Maybe he was occupied with his religion that he didn't have time for him. Or he must have had some prejudices against Jesus, who this person is. Or he may not have had a spiritual vision. And whatever that may be, we read in the scripture that having come to know that Jesus is in and around his place or village, he was passing through a town, this man was curious to see who this person was. And perhaps it was out of curiosity that Zacchaeus made his first attempt to the street to see a crowd, and in the midst of the crowd, a man speaking. Maybe a teacher, a prophet, and he wanted to know who this person is. But as I said, he had obstacles to overcome. He had two obstacles. One was, he was short in stature. And the other one was, the crowd was around Jesus, so he couldn't have a vision of Jesus. And he also knows that if he makes a public confession or profession of Jesus or following up of Jesus, people around him would not accept that as a religious pursuit. They would think, why this man here. He is not supposed to be here. Even if he is making a following up of Jesus, it's not true. And therefore, here is a man who has a spiritual need, but yet not being able to reach Jesus, who is afraid of people and their prejudices, and yet wanting to see who Jesus is. Here is a man with a real spiritual struggle. Zacchaeus, the tax collector, the chief publican, is a despised person in society. He is struggling spiritually. We know of the story that is told in Luke 18, where the Pharisee went to pray, and his comparison was such that he said, "I am not like the publican, like the tax collector who cheats people. I am straightforward. I am righteous before God. Whereas the tax collectors are frauds, or they are bad people, evil people. My way of living is righteous, straightforward before God." But the publican said, "Oh Lord, I am broken before you. I need your grace. It's only your grace that can give me an access into thy presence. And I seek your righteousness." So we know who this person is by his social standing. Now secondly, let's talk about Zacchaeus, the earnest seeker. If you read verse 3, he wanted to see who Jesus was, but he was not able because he was too short to see above the crowd. And he ran ahead to a place where Jesus would come, and he climbed a sycamore tree so he could see him. What is this wealthy man doing? He is climbing on a sycamore tree. If I would see such a man in my society, in my culture, we all would laugh at him. What this crazy fellow is doing? What is he doing there? Now he's almost childish like a man. Although he has a standing as a tax collector, here is he climbing over a sycamore tree, almost forgetting himself and his status, wanting to see Jesus, wanting to have a vision of Jesus. And we see that soon he overcame the obstacles of both his small stature and also the crowd. And he sat himself, made himself comfortable on the branch of a tree, and now he was able to have a vision of Jesus. But there is one thing. Here is Zacchaeus, a secret follower or seeker of the truth. He wants to see Jesus, but he doesn't want Jesus to see him. He also doesn't want people to notice him. Are there secret believers or secret seekers in our society? There are many. In my society, if you go to India, there are a lot of Hindus. You interact with them. To your amazement, they would say that we have been reading the scriptures. We have been hearing the radio broadcastings. We have been attending some meetings in secret. But we have not made a public profession of Jesus because we are afraid of people. We are afraid of social status. Therefore, we are not willing to make an open confession, but we are secret seekers of truth. Here is Zacchaeus, a typical example of a secret believer, wanting to have a vision of Jesus so that he can embrace his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we see that as ultimately Jesus came on his way, here is Zacchaeus, uncomfortable. But to his surprise, Zacchaeus is going to see something very, very different. Something unexpected is going to happen there. We read verse 5. When Jesus came to that place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down. I must stay at your house today." Here is Jesus, the one who seeks after the lost, the one whose eye can see anyone in hiding, anyone in secret, the one who can respond even to a secret seeker. Jesus, who looks up to the tree and sees the tax collector. He not only just observes him sitting there, but he invites him. Zacchaeus, hurry and come down. I must stay at your house today. Someone said, Zacchaeus climbed over the tree because he was small. He came down because all of a sudden he grew tall. Who was this person inviting him? Jesus is inviting himself to Zacchaeus' house. He just wanted to have a vision of Jesus, just to have a glimpse of Jesus. But here is Jesus willing to go to his home, stay there overnight. There's a lesson here. How can we minister to people? How can we reach people? It's by going to people where they are. There used to be a time when, in this typical fashion of a missionary outreach, we built a mission compound and we arranged beautiful pews, decorated everything, we stored our storeroom with abundance of food, and we ate well, we dressed well, we spoke English, and then we invited people to our campuses and said, if you respond to Jesus, you will be changed. You will speak English. I am not talking about those of you who speak English. I am talking about a typical missionary approach in my country. Many people thought once you become a Christian, you start speaking in English. No. You spoke English. Then you changed your lifestyle. And then you have all material things around. That was a wrong representation of Christian missions. Increasingly, we are becoming aware of the fact that our mission is where Jesus' mission is. Our mission is out in the field. Our mission is where people are. That is a lesson for me, my dear friends. Jesus, the one who seeks after the lost. Zacchaeus, the despised, the condemned. But Zacchaeus, the one who comes down from the tree in his search for Jesus. Because Jesus not only observes and notices him, but also invites him to his home and be willing to spend a day with him. What an honor. I cannot even think of meeting President Clinton once. I told my parents the other day that one of my ambitions in life is to see Clinton personally. You know, I don't know, maybe by the time I get to see him, he will be out of the office. Even if I get a chance. What a privilege to have a personal vision of the President of America, or for that matter, any big person. And what it is for Zacchaeus to have this great prophet, the Savior of the world, residing at his home. Thirdly, I want to talk to you about Zacchaeus, the discoverer. What did he discover? He discovered something about himself. He discovered something about the one he wanted to see, about the Lord Jesus Christ, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He also discovered something about his own life and his mission to the world. And I am sure that most of you who are seated here this morning are such people who have discovered Jesus. It's not that we found him, as Paul says, but that we were found by the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet there is a kind of a spiritual discovery here, that I am able to know who I am for the first time. I am being brought to a realization of who I am. The Lord brings the conviction of sin as I confront him. The Lord confronted Paul on the way to Damascus and brought the conviction of sin and changed him and gave him a new vision and mission. And God, Lord, met Zacchaeus on the tree and brought him down to his home and gave him a mission and sent him out to the world. What did he discover about himself? He discovered that he needed Jesus. Why? Because he was wretched. He was sinful. He was condemned to death. His ways were not pure. His words were not pure. His deeds were not pure because he was sinful. By that very act of he coming down from the tree, Zacchaeus was making a profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, saying, O Lord, I respond to your call. You know, my friends, the call of Jesus demands a response. It's a response in faith, and it's a response in repentance. By that public exercise of coming down from the tree, taking Jesus to his home, preparing a meal for him, spending that glorious night hours with Jesus, Zacchaeus was appropriating faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He also discovered that this man who is at his home is not a mere mortal man. He is Savior of the world. He is the one who can set people from sin. Who can set people free from their guilt. Who can transform people and give them a new life. And it is to that effect that Paul said, if a person is in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. Zacchaeus did not leave to see. I don't know. Perhaps he must have been an observer to that whole event. But at this time, Zacchaeus has not seen a crucified Jesus Christ. He did not see or he did not envisage a risen Lord Jesus Christ. He saw an incarnate Christ before him, before his death and resurrection. And yet, in faith, he was able to respond to Jesus and to know who this person was. He was amazed at the grace that this person bestowed upon him. I stand amazed at the wonder of the cross. John Newton, when he met Jesus, and when he became a recipient, candidate for grace, he wrote, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound." Can you remember the day that you met Jesus? That amazing moment of grace. That wonderful moment of transformation. Jesus said, "Today, salvation has come to this home. And this tax collector has become the son of Abraham. Because son of Abraham is the one who follows God in faith. Son of Abraham is the one who does the will of God. Son of Abraham is the one who is justified by faith." And here is Zacchaeus, the discoverer, who has found this new life in Jesus Christ. And I also said that Zacchaeus made another discovery. It was a new discovery of the quality of Christian life. It was a new discovery of the quality of Christian life. Before I say, comment on that, let me just tell you a word about verse 6. By the way, I want to be, you know, I think it is my conviction that I always want to go to the Word and speak from the Word. And therefore, I would urge you to look into verse 6 of Luke 19. Two things I just want you to notice. Zacchaeus came down quickly and welcomed him gladly. What was his response to Jesus' call? What was the moment between the call and the response? Somebody can answer. What was the gap between Jesus' call and Zacchaeus' response? Instant. The divine call demands an instant and immediate response. He came down quickly. Not only that, he received him gladly. When is that we were able to receive Jesus gladly? For me, I can say the day that Jesus became my Savior. That's why we can sing, this is the day, this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in Him. There is joy of salvation as a sinner repents and comes to Jesus. So, he responded immediately and he expressed the joy of salvation, received him gladly. Okay, now we said, as he received Jesus, Zacchaeus received a mission, a new vision of his life. That was the realization that from now onwards, I am a changed person. From now onwards, my identity is that of a Christian, as a follower of Christ. That tomorrow, I have to go out into my profession again. We are not told that Zacchaeus left his job and then onwards he started looking for some other job, playing in some other place. No. I tend to believe that he continued to do the job. Because the job in itself was not bad. But the way he handled that job, the way, you know, he wanted to amass health and wealth through this was the problem. And there was no reason why he should give up that profession, but there was a new way of witnessing. And the challenge for me this morning is the secular witness of the Christian. God has given us a new life, new values, new principles for life. And we are sent back to the same world. But there we go, not as the old people, not with the old dispositions, but we go there with a new disposition, as changed people, new people, out in the field. You must have become a believer in a setting which was purely secular. And now God is sending back you there. How and for what? He is sending you with a new value, new vision, new decisions, new commitments. For what? To be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder how serious we take our Christian life and our Christian witness in the secular world. Are you able to witness the transforming power of the Lord Jesus Christ in your workplace? Are you able to keep that honest witness of a Christian in your workplace? Because God has placed some of us or all of us in very important strategic positions. And we are not to misuse those opportunities of witness. We are to be accountable to God. We are to be stewards of the resources God gives us, the talents God gives us. And here is Zacchaeus, a changed man, to return to his society again. And when he goes there the next day, he has to demonstrate the quality of life Jesus has imparted to him. And I believe that God was working in Zacchaeus instantly, immediately, and Zacchaeus was able to bring about some convictions. And that's what I want to talk about as the last point. Zacchaeus is the converter. Zacchaeus, the converter. Conversion is a turning from and a turning to. It's a turning from sin and turning to God. It is turning of the heart to God, and it is the turning of the heart from sin. You agree with that? And if that be the case, it's a total change. It's a change of direction. And it is a change of the will. It's a change of the mind. It's a change of the heart. And it is that kind of a conversion that Zacchaeus expresses here. It is natural for us to doubt the conversions of many people. Many a times I have asked, is that person really a Christian? Is he really converted? If he is really converted, he may not do this way. I have a lot of stories again. There was a revival meeting in one part of India. So many people gathered one night to give testimony as how the Lord touched them. One man got up and he said, last week, I broke open a grocery shop in this town and stolen 10 bags of rice. God has brought me the conviction that that was wrong. I don't want to repeat this way of life. And he said, immediately another man got up from the crowd and he said, I thank the Lord for the revelation that he brought, that it was from my shop that the rice bags were taken. And I am glad that the person has confessed it openly and the Lord has visited him. But just one correction. I did not lose 10 bags of rice, I lost only 5. And immediately the other man who gave the testimony, he got up and said, I am confessing in advance. I am going to take the rest of the 5 tonight from your shop. Because after confessing, I cannot take that, so I am confessing in advance for the 5 bags that I am going to take tonight. Is that a conversion? No. Restitution is part of Christian repentance. Is an outward demonstration of the inward change. It is the outward expression of the inward change the Lord has brought. It is the result, direct result of the conviction of sin. That here is Zacchaeus under the ministry of God, brought into the conviction that his way of life is sinful, that he had cheated people, stolen things of people, and he need to get right with people. My dear friends, you cannot get right people, get right with God without getting right with people. If you get right with God, we have to get right with people also. If you repent of your sins, it also demands that you express it outwardly. A restoration. It may be a restoration of relationships. It may be a restoration of things. It may be a restoration of community. It may be a restoration of a relationship within family, within communities. It may be returning of a thing. It may be admitting of a fault done. That's what Zacchaeus. I am amazed at the grace of this man, who is able to make this statement, profound statement. Let me read it for you. Verse 8. But Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, I will give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anyone, I will pay back 4 times more. You know, the Leviticus rules did not ask him to pay 4 times. It was lesser than that. He need to just restore what he has stolen, that's all. But here is a man who is willing to go beyond and above that so-called load for justification. He is willing to go out more into that deed in which he is willing to return 4 times. It's not merely doing that the mere thing for Christian life, but because we are the recipients of the grace of God, we are willing to do it abundantly. Do it more and more. We are not measuring our Christian standard by the yardstick of the law, but if our life is measured in the yardstick of grace. I know of a fine Christian preacher who is with the Lord now. He was a university student and he was not converted at that time. he went to a library and he was fascinated with a book. And he decided to steal that book from the library. He took that book home, kept it with him for many years. And he did not use it, but it was in his library. After many years graduating from that university, this man was saved. And he began to read the scriptures. And as he came to the passage of Luke 19, this man was brought under the tremendous conviction of the sin that he had done. By this time, this man was already employed. And he was running a decent life. The Lord said, go back to that library. And go back and return the stuff and confess before the people what you have done. By the time he returned, the librarian had gone. The library has totally changed. This man goes and says, years back when I was a student here, I had stolen this library book. Now I have become a Christian and I want to return this book. And if there is any fine towards it, I want to pay that fine too. The librarian would not take the book. He says, I cannot take this. But this man had to force upon him and to say that, please believe me, this is a book that I have stolen from you. There was another theological teacher, a teacher in a theological school. He did not teach me, but he was one of the professors in the seminary that I studied. He went out for a gospel meeting one night. As he was returning, he had to catch a train, but he missed the train, so he had to stay overnight in a railway station. As he was sleeping in the railway station, somebody has stolen his bags with his Bible. Many years have gone, almost 14 years have gone by. And by this time, this teacher became a radio preacher. And then, here is a man in search of this radio preacher, asking him whether he had lost a Bible some 14 years back. And they got into connect with each other. And then finally this man came with that old Bible to this Bible college and said, sir, I found your name on this Bible that I had stolen. I was a thief. But I started reading this Bible and finally I have become a Christian. And other day when I heard your name in the radio, I thought you may be that person. And therefore I came in search of you. I am not totally returning your Bible. I am willing to pay you money for many more Bibles to be purchased so that you can distribute to other people who do not have Bibles. Let me just challenge your hearts this morning. That is the testimony of Zacchaeus. A restoration of things. To keep a public confession of the profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me conclude by saying, the story of Zacchaeus challenges us. It is a challenge to every heart that struggles with the issue of sin. Zacchaeus says, there is forgiveness and acceptance in the Lord Jesus Christ. Zacchaeus says, the Lord Jesus Christ demands a response of faith, a response of commitment, an opening of the heart. Zacchaeus says, small men can become tall as they find a new identity in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Zacchaeus says, you are a changed person. Go out into the world as a witness of that change the Lord Jesus Christ has brought. May we be such that we will be witnesses of the transformed lives by the operation of the grace of God. Let's pray. Loving Father, you have spoken to our hearts. We pray that you will grant us grace to obedience so that we shall glorify your name through our lives and through our services. Now as we disperse from this place, we pray that thou would send us with your blessings. We offer this prayer in Lord Jesus Christ's name. Amen.